You're listening to Limelight, part of the We Love Where You Live podcast series brought to you by the Michigan Municipal League. Here's your host, Emily Kelishevsky.
Well, I am here joined by Detroit Council President Brenda Jones. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Limelight podcast.
And thank you for having me.
It's an honor. It's a pleasure. We're so glad you're here. So for those that don't know you or haven't heard of you, first of all, I'm surprised. But second of all, can you just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. Again, I am Detroit City Council President Brenda Jones. I'm the longest serving council member for the city of Detroit. I'm on my fourth term, and I have served as council president for two terms. This is my second term that I'm serving as council president. I am a Cass Technical High School graduate, Wayne State University graduate, former union president for Communication Workers of America, small business owner, former president of a Black Club Association, and the list goes on and on, a member of SMCOC. Yes. First vice president of SMCOC, and one who loves the people, love MML.
Well, we love
all
you.
All of the work that's done through MML, and love the people that is connected with MML.
Absolutely. So first things first, did you always envision yourself going into local government or government in general?
I did not envision myself as going into local government. What happened was I actually would watch Detroit City Council and not like what I watched. And my mother always taught me you can be a part of the problem or a part of the solution. And I realized that I was part of the problem because I was talking about it and I thought I could be better. And what she taught me is if you think you can do better, then it's up to you to try to do better. And I ran for city council and I won. And that's history.
So what was your campaign like? Because I think for so many people who are interested in politics or interested in sort of being the change, that's the first hurdle that they have to overcome is deciding to run for office, but then the actual campaign. What was that like for you, that first go around?
The actual campaign was very interesting. It was the biggest campaign that I've ever seen. Over 127 people running for 9 seats, and I was still running my union as president of the union, and I was still working. So I never took a leave of absence or anything to run the election, and it was work. It was out talking to the people, knocking on doors, going every place I could possibly be, telling people who I was, telling my story, telling people what I thought I could bring to the city and why I was interested in running. And I think that's what's important for a person who's interested in running is going out and being amongst the people. You cannot be afraid of people if you want to be a politician. You have to, you know, sometimes they laugh and they say, shake hands and kiss all the babies.
Yes.
That you do have to love people. And I do have a love for people. I try to my best to not judge anyone. And what's important to me is to tell the truth. People may not always agree with you, but if you tell the truth and give them the facts, they realize you're an honest person, and that's what's important to me, integrity and honesty.
Absolutely. So do you find, or did you find on that campaign trail where there were so many candidates, that that was something that helped you stand out amongst that crowd? There were only 9 seats, over 100 people were up for those 9 seats. Do you think that the way that you approached it was unique and helpful for you in the campaign?
You know, I probably stood out because I was a labor leader. And my understanding was that there had not been a labor leader on council in centuries, in years. And so I probably stood out for that reason because I was a labor leader. And I attribute a lot of my success to labor who was out helping me. I did not have the money that people thought I needed to have in order to win a citywide election. But what I had was God. And yes. I had troops volunteering to help me. And most of my troops were the union.
Right.
And they stood by me. Then people started coming on. The community started coming to volunteer to help me. And it was a big volunteer effort. And we did what we had to do to run our race. And we were successful.
Sure. So I think one of the takeaways I have from speaking to you before and speaking, you know, hearing you speak since then is that you don't necessarily have to be wealthy in dollars, but wealthy in relationships. And I think that's a message that I've taken away from some of the things
exactly,
that I've heard from you.
Exactly. And again, I love people.
Yes.
I love all people. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have. To me, the homeless is just as important as the one who has all of the money in the world. And I represent everyone, no matter what color they are, no matter what where they come from, whether or not they have money, whether or not they don't have money, no matter what their educational background is, I represent everyone.
Absolutely. Well, I want to sort of shift a little bit because you served on council and then you became council president. How did that happen? Was that an easy process? And then I want to hear about the difference between serving as a council person and then taking on the additional role of council president.
So serving on council and being the council president, first of all, being just a council member, I learned a lot on things that I wanted to do and things I did not want to do if, in fact, I became the president. And the charter changed a little because when I first ran for council, whoever received the most votes was automatically the council president.
Right.
The charter changed, and so when I became president, it was actually a vote amongst my peers. And
okay.
So my peers elected me to be the council president. However, I had more votes than everyone had still. So either way, it would have went. If it was still based on who received the most votes, I would have still been council president.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has been an exciting role. The second time I ran for council president, it was actually two other people that ran for council president. So it was three of us. And
these are your peers.
They were my peers.
Yes.
And it was actually the seventh round where I actually won as council president. So it went seven votes before I became council. It continued to be a tie, 3-3-3. And
wow.
Finally, we found a way to eliminate one person through voting, and then it was between two people. And on the seventh round, I won as council president. So, you know, it has been a good thing being the leader of the Detroit City Council, seeing a lot of things happen in the city of Detroit. A lot of good things happen in the city of Detroit. We still have a little ways to go, but there is a lot happening now versus what was happening when I first got on council. And then I ran for Congress.
Yes.
And
let's talk about that.
That was also an interesting race because it was a race when there were quite a few people
Absolutely.
Running for Congress, as well as two separate terms. There was a partial term
Right.
and a full term. And it was very confusing to many of the voters.
Absolutely.
Many of the voters did not understand why my name appeared two times. Many of the voters thought that they could only vote for me one time. And I won the partial term. And so I won as 13th Congressional District Congresswoman to fill the seat that John Conyers had vacated upon his retirement. And I served 5 weeks in Congress. voted 77 times, introduced two bills.
Yes.
Introduced two bills, and it was truly a good time in Congress. And what a lot of people don't know is once they swear you in as congressperson, you always have the title as congressperson.
Right.
And I was just in D.C. and was able to actually go on the floor as they were meeting. And you have to be a congressperson to go on the floor. And so that was really an interesting time as well. And so...
What did you learn from that? What was different serving in Detroit to serving in Congress? Were there similarities? What surprised you most when you went to D.C.?
What surprised me the most in Congress?
Yes.
Well, you know, it's funny that I tell people, actually, I thought the work was going to be much harder. But I think going through the challenges that the city of Detroit has been through with the bankruptcy, and with the emergency manager and with the Financial Review Commission, and with the 13th Congressional District being probably the same size and population as the city of Detroit,
right?
I was surprised that the work was not as difficult. I came home on the weekends and serviced my constituents. I had offices in the city of Detroit and also an office in Westland. And we service our constituents in the 13th Congressional District. I think it really wasn't hard to me. It was interesting to see the way things were handled there, because things are handled much differently on a federal level than they're handled on a municipal level.
Absolutely.
But it was a good thing. It was interesting. I did not have an opportunity to serve on any committees because I was there such a short term. So maybe once you get the committee work, it would be more difficult. But
sure.
I truly enjoyed it. I enjoyed the... being able to talk to both the Republicans as well as the Democrats, and to know that you have to be able to interact with people no matter whether or not they are a Democrat, a Republican, a progressive, whatever they are,
right.
You have to be able to converse with them.
So is that a skill that you've always had, or is that something you've developed since you came into your roles both with the union and later as an elected official?
I'm sorry, repeat that.
Was that a skill that you had, being able to talk to people of differing opinion or differing political party, or is that something that you developed as you worked in the union and later in elected office?
So let me just say that my degree is in psychology. And so the one thing I know is that people will be different. And you have to be able to talk to people, be able to realize that people are different, that you interact and you deal with people, and there will be some things that you will have in common. And even with the Republicans and the Democrats, you learn. There's always something to learn from whoever you interact with. You always learn something. And that's what I say about D.C. It was truly a learning experience. I learned from whomever I talked to, whomever I sat with. I learned something from them. And so I would say that it is probably something that I've always had to do throughout my life.
Sure.
Born in Birmingham, Alabama, where racism existed.
Right.
I was a child that asked many questions, not understanding the racism. And then moving to Detroit in 1967 during the riot and not understanding what was actually going on as a young child. And then continuing on with my education and my careers that the jobs that I have worked, be it in a law firm, be it in an insurance office, being having my own business as a small business owner, and knowing that you cannot judge a book by its color. You have to open the book and you have to start reading it before you can judge it. And the same with people. You cannot judge a person based on their color. You cannot judge a person based on their political, whether or not they're Republican, Democrat. You actually have to get to know that person.
Absolutely.
And based whatever it is on that particular person themselves. And that's why I enjoy doing the job that I do, meeting people, getting an opportunity to know that people are different.
Yes.
No two people are the same, and being able to help people solve whatever crisis they're having.
Absolutely. So we're here at convention recording this podcast, and you spoke earlier to the Michigan Women in Municipal Government, and we talked about women reaching back to move forward. And that's something that, you know, is important to me as a young person. We've spent some time a few weeks ago in your office, and you were so gracious enough to allow both me and my colleague, Harrisana, to just talk with you for a few hours, actually. So talk to us a little bit about that message and how our current leaders can really usher in future leaders moving forward.
It's so important to me that we mentor. That is very important to me. I will not be around doing the job that I'm doing. But what's important to me is to mentor to someone such as yourself, who is young. I have interns in my office, and I have a young lady working in my office, and she's actually a staff person. And I always use her as an example because she began working with me right out of college. And her first job and her only job prior to working with me was at a restaurant in a chain, such as a Burger King or a McDonald's.
Sure.
That was the only job she had.
Sure.
And so she grew up basically up under my mentorship and learning. And today, she's my policy manager. I would not live without her doing the work that she does today. And so we have to reach back, give, teach, because if we don't teach and they come in and they take the anything, they just go at anything because they have had no one to learn from.
Right.
What will we have? And so my thing is, let's give back to our younger people. I learn from our young adults. I truly learn. And there's always something that we all can learn. You never get too old to learn anything. And as things continue to change, and I remember when I was young, and actually when I was the president of the Black Club Association, and I think I was the youngest. And one of the things that I had to explain to the elderly, the seniors, is if you want to see a change, we have to do things differently. And that's something that I realized even when I reach back and mentor. I look at social media is one of the things that I am not a person who has been into social media.
Sure.
But as I reach back to our young adults, I realize how important social media is. And so I find myself texting.
Yes,
I find myself,
we text, Brenda.
Yes. 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 I find myself doing things that I didn't do, that I didn't think was important. But as things continue to change, we have to reach out to our millennials.
Yes.
And see what has changed. Get the fresh new ideals and work them together.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's brilliant. And I have to say, I'm so grateful for you and having you as a leader and someone that has spent time with me. and truly humbled to have been in your presence and spent time with you. But I want to touch on just one other subject briefly, and that is a subject of self-care, because I think it's so important for women, but also for elected officials, to really take care of themselves in the process, because we often give a lot of ourselves. And so how is it that you take care of yourself when you are doing so many things and giving of yourself so much?
And that was one of the things. I, you know, recently received a scholarship from Simcock to go to Harvard.
Yes.
And spending 3 weeks there, that was one of the things that they really focused on, and that was making sure you take time out for yourself. And although I find myself working a lot of hours, I still take time out for myself. Probably not as much time, but I'm going to do better.
Sure.
I am going to do better. But it is important, because if you don't take time out for yourself, how do you help someone else when you're completely burnt out yourself?
Absolutely.
And so we have to learn how to balance. We have to learn how to balance our workload. And sometimes, you know, I don't have any kids.
Yes.
And so I always say the city of Detroit is my family. The constituents in the city of Detroit are my family. And I love the people in the city of Detroit. No matter whether or not we have differences, no matter whether or not we agree on everything, I love Detroit. I love the people in the city of Detroit. I love Michigan, which will be my home. And so I find a way to balance. Sometimes I just stop everything and go see a good movie, because it's important that you just take time out. Sometimes I stop everything and go get a massage. So you have to take care of yourself, because if you don't take care of yourself, you cannot take care of anyone else. And it's the same thing, and I also give that same advice to people who are taking care of elderly people, taking care of their mom, taking care of their father, taking care of a disabled family member. We still have to find time. So it's not just in the political world.
Absolutely.
It's also in our life.
Absolutely.
We have to find time to balance.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I want to close out with one question. Coming to Detroit for the MML convention is huge for us. I'm thrilled that we're here. And I'm thrilled that you've been able to join us for so much of this and give so much of yourself to really tell Detroit's story from a Detroit perspective. So I just want to close out with one final question. What makes Detroit special?
You know, Detroit is very special. There's a lot of things that make Detroit special. One is, people say we're the comeback city, coming back from bankruptcy.
Right.
I say we never went any place, so we're not the comeback city. But if they want to say we're the comeback city, I'll accept it. That's one thing that makes Detroit special. Detroit has all races in the city of Detroit, all ethnic backgrounds we have in the city of Detroit. Detroit sits on water. So it's a lot that makes Detroit special. And Detroit is really special right now because there's still a lot of bad and negative talk about Detroit. But when a person gets an opportunity to come to Detroit, it's amazing to them.
Absolutely.
They don't believe it's Detroit based on the things that they have heard in the past. And so Detroit has it all. Detroit has labor workers. Detroit has casinos. Detroit have factories, the plants. Detroit have the corporate workers. Detroit has all of our sports are located in downtown Detroit. Detroit Pistons, Detroit Tigers, and Detroit Lions are all located in the city of Detroit. Detroit, Motown.
Well, don't get me started on Motown, Brenda.
Yeah, 60 years.
Yes.
Motown just celebrated 60 years. And so Detroit just has so much going for it. And the one special thing, Detroit Youth Choir.
Yes.
That just came in number two amongst America. How many places can you go and have a youth choir to represent the city the way Detroit Youth Choir represented the city of Detroit? America has talent. Detroit has talent. Detroit has beautiful people. I invite everyone to first join MML, Michigan Municipal League, and secondly, to come to the city of Detroit. We love to have them.
Well, thank you so much, Council President Brenda Jones. It is truly an honor to sit across from you and be in your presence every time we get to see one another and every time we have you at a league event. We appreciate you and all you do for the league and all you do for the city of Detroit.
And thank you so much for having me, and thank you so much for being in the city of Detroit. I love Michigan Municipal League, and I love you as well, Emily.
Oh, thank you, Brenda. I love you too.
Thank you.
This has been a production of the Michigan Municipal League. For more information on our programs and services, please visit www.mml.org and join us for the next episode of We Love Where You Live.